about the gifts of the Spirit? I don't think I got my papers I made y'all last week. Let's go, if you get your Bible, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, Zach. Now this has been our key text of what we've been working off of all these services. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities, or we would say differences, of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities or differences of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? Profit withal." So they are to benefit. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues," or we would say different kinds of tongues or languages, "to another the interpretation of tongues." It says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills." Now, I wrote this down. These gifts are not ours as if we own them. God is the owner of all of it, right? But he gives gifts unto men, just like he gave the fivefold ministry and all that. He gives these gifts to people, but they're not ours to the point to where we can turn them on and operate in them, or we can turn them off. God is the one that turns them on and off. God is the one that gives them, right? I had a lady one time, she told me, "I can prophesy anytime I want to," because the word prophecy, when you look it up, it means to speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Well, sure, if something happened to you, Mac, I could try to speak comforting words to you to help you through, but that's not what it's talking about. It's a supernatural speaking unto men to exhortation, edification, and comfort. I cannot prophesy anytime I want to. But I can speak an encouraging word, what I believe would be encouraging, but this is all by the Spirit. So we don't own these gifts to turn them on and off. And somebody said, I heard somebody say, you know, well, what is the best gift? Well, I would say probably the one you need at the time. Because they're all good. Now, we got to the gift of faith last week. We didn't get to talk about it. If you got your Bible, let's go over to Hebrews 11:1. You can put that up there too, Zach. Now, this is faith. It's not a different faith. Faith is faith, right? That's why we're going to read Hebrews 11:1 here. I know Hebrews is in here somewhere. It is. Well, now I got to get to chapter 11. Hebrews 11:1, this is King James Version. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Amplified says it this way, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for." That word hope is a confident expectation. "Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality." Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I like to think of it this way. I can buy a car in Arizona and they send me the title, but I've never seen the car and I can't get in the car. But how many knows I own that car? Why? Because I have the title deed to that car. Even though I've never seen it, I can't get inside of it. It's out in Arizona somewhere. That's kind of like the way that I like to think about faith, because faith lets me know it's mine. I have it. Do I see it in the natural? No, I may not see it in the natural. But on the inside, I know that I know that I know it belongs to me. It's a confident expectation. When a woman is pregnant, she's not holding that baby in her arms, but she knows she's going to have one in however many months that she has left, right? So this is the same kind of faith. It is that confident expectation, that knowing. It is the same kind in a sense, but then at the same time, it's different. This is, let me read what I got wrote down here. The gift of faith is different in purpose. We have, well, put Romans 10:17 up there, please, Zach. I could quote it, but let's just read it. It says, so then faith cometh how? And how? Hearing, when you say where it says the word of God, you start studying that, it says the anointed word of God. It's not just by any word of God. It's the anointed word of God. So the faith that we all are supposed, the Bible says the just shall live by faith, right? That's us. We heard somehow some form of the gospel. We believed it, which was faith. We acted on it. Bam, we got born again. Now we walk and we live by faith. Why? We can't see God with our natural eye. But in here, we know he's real, right? We talk to him. He talks to us. But yet we don't see him. So that kind of faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The gift of faith is just like God puts a drop, bam, of himself, faith in you for a specific purpose, for a specific time. You don't have that all the time. We're supposed to walk and live by faith 24/7, right? In every word of God that he has said. But now the gift of faith is for a specific purpose. It's like a burst of faith directly from God beyond your faith that takes hold of you. This faith, when it's turned on, it'll take hold of you where you are listening to the word trying to obtain faith. You understand what I'm saying? This is totally different, but yet it is the same basic kind of faith. It's given for a specific purpose. Great faith or wonder-working faith, some translation says. This faith always receives what is intended for. Always. I gave a little bit of example last week because we was just fixing to get into this and we had to stop. Smith Wigglesworth has something like 17, 19 documented cases of raising the dead. I mean, one guy, he was already embalmed, sitting, laying in the casket. He goes over to the casket, picks the guy up, slams him up against the wall, and says, live. He slides down the wall. He picks him, does this two or three, four times. Picks him back up, slams him against the wall, and says, I said, live. The guy walks out of the funeral home with him. He's done being embalmed. This stuff don't happen. This is the gift of faith in operation. Now, the first time that he tells the story that it ever happened to him, he was still a plumber. He hadn't started preaching all that stuff yet. His neighbor had been sick. Well, he's come in, and his wife, he found out that his neighbor had just then died. Well, him and his wife, they go over there, and he's beside the bed, and he's praying for her in his own natural faith that we all operate with. Why? Because we know healing is for everybody, right? Some people's taken out of here way before their time with sickness and disease and accidents and things like that. Anyway, he's beside the bed, and he's praying for her, and his wife tells him, you know, just stop. You know, she's gone. She's dead. Well, he keeps praying, and he explains it this way. He says, I'm praying, he said, and it's in myself, he said, and it's like there's a no. Y'all ever experienced that before? You're praying about something, and you want it really bad, but it's just like, ain't nothing happening. That's the way he's describing what's happening to him. Well, he keeps on praying, and he says he can tell he comes to the end of his own personal faith. And it's like nothing is happening. And says all of a sudden, it's like a yes. And it is a faith that takes hold of him. He said he don't think about it or anything. Next thing you know, he is grabbing that woman, pulling her out of the bed, and she is alive. This is faith that takes hold of you for a specific purpose. Now, let's look at Acts 3, 1 through 16, Zach. We'll look at some examples. And when you're reading the Bible, you need to pay attention to wording. It's just as important the way something is said as it is what is said sometimes. You know, we've discussed that before. You could be a woman, you know, and meet a guy on the street and say, hello, just walk on by, you know, don't even make eye contact or whatever. And then you could come across somebody and say, hello. Now, I said hello twice. All I said was hello. But there's some emphasis in one of those, ain't they? So that I need to pay attention, not just what is said, but also how it's said and everything, too, when I'm reading and studying. But here in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Let's stop here for just a second. This is not their first time to go here. Right? Jesus himself went here. Why? Because it is the hour of prayer. They go there every day. It says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now notice this. He is lame from his mother's womb. Something didn't form right in his body when he was born. I mean, when he was in his mother's womb. Something's wrong with his back, his spine, his legs, something, right? So he's born without the ability to ever even crawl or walk or anything. It says, verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he, now notice what he said, such as I have. It says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now something was fixed in his body. They didn't just receive strength, right? He's never crawled. He's never walked. He is a grown man, and something was wrong with him at birth. So whatever that problem was wrong with him at birth was fixed, and then God didn't even have to wait time to let him try to take little baby steps or whatever. Instantly, the man starts walking. You go on here, and he says, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with, look at it, wonder and amazement at which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. They keep saying that. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why ye marvel at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our look, own power or holiness we made this man to walk? Now when he told him, look at him, he said, such as I have, I give to you. Now he's saying, don't look at me. I didn't do it. Why is he saying that? Because this is a gift. When that gift is turned on, it is just like God himself speaks. It was dark, and God said, let there be light, and what happened? Bam, there was light. That's exactly what happened right here. They didn't pray for the guy. They didn't lay hands on the guy. That gift was turned on, and he said, rise up and walk, and bless God, he rose up and he walked. Now he's telling them, don't look at us like we did it by ourselves or what's in us or whatever. What did we get to, 12, 13? It says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is, notice this, by him. He didn't say by us through him. It says by him. He goes on, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now let's go over to Acts 13, since we're here in Acts. Going to do, I think it's verses 4 through 12, right? Now listen, judgment can also come through these gifts. You hear me? This is one that we're fixing to read where it does. How many knows you can be on the good side of judgment or you can be on the bad side? But judgment is going to come. Just like you go before a judge, you know, you get your lawyers and all that, and you go before a judge, you can get a good sentence or you can get a bad sentence, depending on which side of the right or the wrong you're on. But verse 4 here, he says, "Though so they being sent forward," and he's talking about Paul and Barnabas here. It says, "So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. It says, but Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." Now notice what happens. "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost." This goes back to when we first started drinking till full. He's full of the Holy Ghost is how he does this. "Set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." Now notice that. Judgment came to this guy. Why? Why was that gift turned on? Talking about the gift of faith this morning. What was the purpose of having that? Shut the devil up. Y'all are way too quiet. To shut the... Was that not what we're supposed to do? Because anytime you go preaching and teaching and ministering the gospel and healing the sick and laying hands on people and trying to cast out devils and all this stuff, the devil's going to rise up. And I cannot defeat him in myself or in my own strength. I don't have that kind of ability. Do I have authority over him? Yes, I do, but not in everybody else's life. I can keep him out of my house, but I can't keep him out of yours. I can't just run around controlling the devil over everybody else. So here, Paul and Barnabas has been sent out by the Holy Ghost. They come across this guy. He's a very influential guy. And he's wanting to hear the word of the Lord. But here comes the devil through this sorcerer and says, "Oh, no, no. You're not going to preach today." And what happens? God turns on the gift of faith in Paul, and it is just like God says, "Boom, you're blind." And what happens? Paul don't have that kind of power. Even in his own personal faith, he does not have that kind of power. But through the gift of faith, oh, he's got that kind of power. He's looking for somebody to lead him around because he can't say nothing now. And then it goes on and it says, and the guy believed and was astonished at his teaching. So therefore, that gift was turned on for the purpose of stopping and defeating the devil where he was trying to stop the gospel from going forth. See, God loves people. And it's kind of like us, you know, just like different times for Travis, and then now I do it a lot of times for my grandkids or whatever. I'll be at the store or something, you know. They don't need nothing. I'm telling you. None of them need nothing. I mean, they have, they got 4 or 5 bedrooms, and one is nothing but a toy room, and that ain't where the toys stay. It's full of toys. There's toys in the living room. There's toys in the bedrooms. There's toys outside. There's toys in the toy room. But there'll be times that I'll be at town or something other, and I'll be like, let me just get that for Aiden. This is exactly what God does for his children too. God has made a way to where through our own personal faith, when we hear the word and believe the word, we can receive whatever we need to receive from him. But there's other times that God loves his children that he just wants to do special things. That kind of like I told you last time I was here, my back had been bothering me. And I really hadn't prayed about it or anything like that, you know. It had just started a couple weeks ago or whatever and wasn't constant. And I hadn't asked God anything about it, wasn't thinking anything about it in the service. Rondé calls me up and says, "Sister, come let me pray for you." He said, "God's got a healing for your back. He's going to start right here in the top and, you know, work his way down. And it's going to feel like this," and boom. I didn't ask God for that. But God loves me. God loves you. So sometimes he just does special things. And then there's other times special things has to happen for a purpose, just like right here. I mean, Paul could have argued with him all day long. Yeah, I'm going to preach the gospel. And he says, no, you ain't. Yeah, I am. No, I ain't. And the gospel would have never got preached. So God turns on the gift of faith and says, you're going to be blind. And he is. And the guy received. Right? Let's look at Matthew 12. See, you'll hear people, well, if you've got so much faith, everybody that's born again has got faith. The Bible says that faith, the measure of faith has been given to every man, right? Now, that faith is supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be developing. It's kind of like this. God gave you muscles when you're born. You 8 pounds, whatever you are, you got muscles laying there in that bed. But they ain't going to get bigger without you working them out. And when you get older, you can walk past the workbench all you want to and say, I believe God, my muscles is getting bigger. Ask Travis, he tried it. He'd walk by the workout machine on the back porch. My muscles was getting bigger. My muscles, only thing got bigger was his belly. Why? That ain't how you get it. Everybody's been given the measure of faith, but at the same time, every one of us, by studying, by yielding to the Lord in temptations and trials and tests, you develop. That's what a trial and a test is. The Bible says it is the trying of your faith that will work what? Patience. Woohoo! I'm working out. What do we say? No, God, no. I don't want a trial. I don't want a test. This don't feel good. No, I don't like this. This is of the devil. But guess what? It's for your benefit if you'll use it. It's a barbell. It's a 20-pound. If you'll do it like this right here, guess what? Your faith will get stronger and stronger and stronger till the next time. It's like, are you serious? You'd better come up with something a lot bigger than that. But if you don't ever work it out, you're just a hearer of the word and not a doer. Your muscles ain't going to be big. So I'm talking about spiritual muscles. Your faith ain't going to be very big, and you're going to be defeated every time you turn around. What did I tell y'all? Matthew 12? Zach, I think it's going to be 14 through 16. Now, this is Jesus here. Verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. That don't look right. Oh, yeah. It says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. Now, stop here for just a second, because we got to pay attention to what it says. How many people do you think a multitude is? I think it's more than 3 to 5. And it says a great multitude. I mean, they would be people following him by the, what was it when he fed, what was it? He fed 5,000 at one time? So that was just the men. That wasn't even the women and children that was following. So this is a great multitude. So reckon we might could say they could possibly be 3,000 to 5,000 people here at this time. Possibly. I mean, I don't know. It don't say. But it says they was a great multitude. And notice it says, and he healed them. This is a gift in operation. Why would I say this? Just like the service we have, there's times you have lost people come in. They're not saved. They're not believing God. They don't got no faith at all. Right? They're lost. Then you have other people sitting in the service. Their faith is turned on. They're attentive. They're believing God for a specific thing in that service or whatever. So it's the same way here. I mean, you say you got 3,000 to 5,000 people. I guarantee you every does not believe in Jesus. They're spectators. You got the Jews out there. You got the Pharisees. You got the Sadducees. He never went nowhere without them. Right? They went to church. Oh, yeah. Every place you turn, they're criticizing something he does. So I'm sure they was out there, too. They didn't believe in him, that's for sure. They're there to only be spectators and see how much they could stop what was going on or criticize or some way to kill him, right? I mean, this went on all the time. They wanted to kill him, but they had fear of the people. How could he heal them all? Same way me and you can if that gift is turned on. You hear people say, well, if you got so much faith, talking about our own personal faith that we live by daily, why don't you just go empty out the hospital? I can't do that. Why? This is the faith for me to live by, and I get faith by whatever I hear that he tells me. This gift, if it's turned on for a specific purpose of cleaning out the hospital while I'm over there, you better believe I clean out the hospital. Why? Because it is. These people don't have to be believing nothing. This is a gift, and God just specially does it, and it says he healed them all. However many was there, if they was Pharisees there and something was wrong with them, there ain't nothing wrong with them no more, Mac. If they Sadducees there and something's wrong with them, ain't nothing wrong with them no more. Why? He healed them all. Jesus himself said what? I can only do what I see my Father do. He didn't walk any different than we walk today. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. So it's just like us. If we don't hear the Father say something, we can confess it all we want to. Ain't nothing going to happen. But if he says it, or that gift is turned on, just like with Elymas over there, the sorcerer, you are blind for a season. You better believe it. You better find you somebody to lead you around, or eye-seeing dog, because it's coming, right? So it says there, he healed them all. Now look at Mark 6. Let's see something else when it's not turned on. I don't know about y'all, but this stuff just makes me so excited inside. Y'all don't seem very excited either. Are you excited, Mac? Really, though, I mean, I start studying this stuff and teaching this stuff and reading this stuff and looking at it, and it's like I just get so excited. This is just awesome to me. Mark 6, 1 through 6, Zach. It says, and talking about Jesus again, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, now notice who was there, at least the disciples was, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? Now notice what it says. He taught. Faith comes how? Our regular, everyday faith we live by comes how? Hearing and hearing by the word of God. He's teaching and they're hearing, right? But they're not mixing no faith with it. It says, him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? They've seen him do miracles. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do what? No mighty work. Why not? We just left the scriptures where we could say he's got 3,000 to 5,000 people following him. Pharisees, Sadducees, people believe in him, people suspect, all kinds of people, right? And he didn't even preach. So it wasn't that kind of faith that they got it on their own, and he healed every one of them. What's making the difference? You might well say, well, it's just because they won't have faith. No, you can't tell me all them other ones have faith too. 3,000 to 5,000 people, every one of them had faith and was just outreaching, believing God for healing. I don't believe that. But now you go from he healed every one of them there over here to where he came. And he even preached this time. And it says he taught, and it says they heard. But now they wouldn't believe, and because of his unbelief, he couldn't do no miracles there. Guess what? With a gift of faith, you don't have to have nobody believing. The gift is not turned on in this right here. Can you see that? Before he heals everybody there. Didn't pray for them, nothing. Just healed them all. Didn't have to have them believing. Over here, he's even preaching and teaching, and they're not believing, and no gift is turned on, and he can't do no mighty works. Why? Because if the Father don't say it, he can't do it. If the gift of healings is not turned on, I can't operate. If the gift of faith is not in operation by the Spirit of God, there's nothing I can do. Why? Because in myself, I can't heal anybody. In myself, I can't do anything for anybody. Do y'all see what I'm talking about here? What the scripture's saying here? Let's finish this here. Verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. So we could say these might be the ones that heard and believed, right? They got it by their own faith. They didn't get it because he was operating in a gift. At this time, there's no gift in operation that he's operating in to heal anybody. And it says, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. Now, let's look at Acts 9, 32 through 43. That. And see, I think sometimes this has been a little bit discouraging to people, because sometimes when people teach and preach or whatever, and they're talking about faith, you know, they just kind of, some people, you get this sense of, well, if you had faith, bless God, there's nothing you can't do. Well, that's not really so. I can't have faith for every single thing. I have faith that I walk and I live by every day. I go by what I hear, not by what I see or what I feel and all of that. I believe God's word. If something attacks my body, I believe God for healing, because I know that in his written word that healing is his will or whatever. But and sometimes I have received something from God for just by myself, you know, just my own faith or whatever. But it's not this, that if you have faith, you can just do all of this stuff. That's not so. Y'all are getting real quiet. Hopefully this is bringing some clarity to people, because I have in my own self felt before that kind of like a little bit of condemning maybe, or I didn't have enough faith or whatever, because I can't go do everything, because I can't go empty out the hospital, and because I can't just run over to everybody's house and take care of a demon and all this other stuff. No, I can't. Why? I can't go no further than Jesus could. If God don't say it, I can't do it. If I don't see it, I can't do it. But yet at the same time, I have this trust and this faith and this confidence in God for my own personal self, just like you have for your own personal self. Do you understand what I'm telling you? There is a difference in that kind of faith than the gift of faith. Now look here at Acts chapter 9. I mean, Smith Wigglesworth himself, raising documented case, 17 to 19 documented cases of raising the dead. He didn't raise everybody. And that's the most, as far as books and things that I have, the most documented cases ever. So I know the man had personal faith. I mean, some people asked him before, you know, how often do you pray? Because they thought it was going to be this, you know, how about how many hours or whatever do you pray? They thought it was probably going to be something like 20 hours out of 24. He said, about 15 minutes. They're shocked. He said, but rarely do I go 15 minutes without praying. So you can't tell me this man didn't walk and talk with God. But yet at the same time, he didn't raise everybody that died. Yes, Sandy, go ahead. He will touch them, or God, you know, if you want to use me, tell me something to do, or, you know, that working of miracles or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, just because they're sick, I mean, you can't run over there and heal them. Not unless he tells you something or a gift is turned on, you know. Or sometimes we receive with our own personal faith in agreement with them, you know. But I can't just go and take authority over everybody that's sick and get them healed. Sometimes there's things in people's lives that we don't know about. You know, there could be somebody in unforgiveness, you know, and you don't know it. And that's a hard thing to do, is get your healing if you're walking in unforgiveness toward people. You know, is that out? Acts 9:32. It says, "But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum," this is talking about Peter, "and being in the house, he asked them, what was it?" Hey, that's not right. I'm over in Mark. No wonder that ain't right. Gosh. Get over here to Acts. Thank you. Verse 32, it says, "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Ananias, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy." So he'd been sick a long time. "And Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately." Do you notice that? He didn't say, "Can I pray for you? You know, I believe the Lord will touch you. You know, I believe the Lord will hear you." No, what's he do? He just walks right up and says what? "Jesus Christ makes you whole." Why? The scripture doesn't say it, but you've got to see through reading all of this, there's a difference. We're fixing to read on to where he don't do that. He prays for it. Let's continue reading here. "And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sardin saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them." Now notice, the Lord didn't tell him to go or nothing. The people came and got him. "When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and did what?" Why didn't he just say, "Woman, get up and walk"? That's what he just done to the man. He just told the man, he just walked over there and said, "Jesus Christ, make you whole, get up, walk." He's not doing that this time. Why? What's different? That's right. It says, verse 40, "But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise." He didn't say nothing about Jesus Christ makes you whole. He prayed. Sandy, when he prayed, he got something after praying, didn't he? Now he tells her, arise. Why? Because that gift is not in operation, so he's down there and he's praying. Why? We always believe it's the will of God to heal. But we can't go beyond nothing if he don't do something. Right? So he turns and he says, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it goes on, it says, "And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." Now, go ahead. That's possible. Because there's no gift in operation there, because, I mean, these two right here, you can see it plainly. To where he just walks up to the guy, "Jesus Christ makes you whole, get up and walk." You know. Then over here he comes in, they go and get him. He comes in, puts them all out, kneels down and starts praying. I don't know how long he prayed. He might have prayed half the night. I don't know. Might have prayed just a couple seconds. But all I know is the Bible says there that he prayed. So therefore, there was no gift that was in operation. And I believe he's praying, seeking the Lord. God, what do you want to do here? You know? And he may have got it by his faith, or God may have. I don't see where God turned the gift on, because he didn't say it like he said it before. But anyway, she got raised from the dead. Now, I want to say something here, our last few minutes here, and deal with what happened Sunday morning. Now, go over to 1 Corinthians. You can put it on the screen, Zach. 1 Corinthians 14:3. I I want to talk about prophecy just a minute, because the other day I left a little bit of stuff out that the Lord wanted me to say. So we'll go back to that right quick. Now it says here, I'll just start in verse 1. He says, follow after charity, which is love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. He's talking about in the church. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto man to edification and exhortation and comfort. This is prophecy. Just the simple gift with no word of wisdom or knowledge or anything like that in it. It is the simple gift of prophecy. Now, I told you earlier, a lady told me one time she can operate that anytime she chooses. No, you cannot. Because all of those gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, as the Spirit gives. Right? As the Spirit wills. I can't turn that gift on. Like I said, I could speak comforting words to you. You might get comforted and you might not. But when prophecy is in operation, it comforts. Now, what happened, let's see what I got wrote here. All prophecy must be inspired utterance from God. I could just see Sandy down or something, you know, and in my own self want to say an encouraging word to her. I could do that. That's not prophecy. But at the same time, I don't know anything about Sandy or anybody else, and all of a sudden I'm inspired on the inside to give a word to her that comforts her or exhorts her in some way. Now, what happened Sunday morning with Danny? The Bible talks about when you have a tongue, an unknown tongue given out in a service, and you have an interpretation with an unknown tongue, that is the same thing as prophecy. When you put those two together, it equals prophecy. Now, I don't remember all of what Danny said or whatever, but I do remember a little bit, and I remember the last part of the Lord was saying, he said, you will do it together. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking on the inside. Okay, God, is this you? What is the words? How does this feel on the inside? And hopefully everybody was doing that, because any of us can miss it, any of us can hit it, you know. And on the inside, I'm feeling comforted. On the inside, I'm feeling peaceful. On the inside, I'm feeling good about this. Sounds like God to me. God wouldn't say y'all won't do it together. Why? God says you're one. You know, you're an elbow, you're a finger, you're a toe, you're a sinew, you're a, you know, nasal cavity, something. You know, why? Because he says that we're all one. And when he says that we'll do it together, those why would God do that? If y'all remember back what was happening Sunday morning is Jackie started off with something that she had some problems with, and then some other people what they had problems with, you know, and we was all trying to talk to one another and let you know you ain't in this thing alone. You know, we all got stuff we deal with. And then, ma'am, here comes the word of the Lord to tell us, to reassure us. The Bible talks about how that God working with them, they're preaching, and he did signs, wonders, and miracles confirming the word that they preached. That was the very thing that happened Sunday morning. Why does God do this? Let him, I'm with y'all. Y'all on the right track. I'm with you. Now, something else, right? Just right quick. You can turn to Revelation 19:10. And if you want to, I've got to stop after this. Inspired testimony, or what the Lord has done for somebody. The Bible talks about how that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. That's how come when somebody comes in the door and they are fired up and they are inspired to give their testimony of something that Jesus has done for them, you get hot. You're like, whoo, that's good. If he can do it. I heard Matt call him one day. Seemed like he was over here going, whoo. Why? And then you can have somebody else give a testimony. Well, God gave me the parking lot closest to the Walmart door because he knows how my knees hurt, and I'm telling you. And I'm like, just shut up. Y'all laughing, but every one of y'all do the same thing. We just don't say you do it. There is inspired testimony. And those fire people up, and they are prophecy. Why? Because God is letting you know, I done that for them. I'll do that for you. Therefore, it brings peace and comfort to the hearer. That's what prophecy does. Brings peace and comfort to the hearer. And then that other junk that ain't inspired utterance, well, just go on with yourself. Just don't even tell us that stuff. You and Jesus should be okay with that. Why? Because if you'll notice, the devil's always trying to get in a service. But God is always trying to take a service a certain place. It'll go high and it'll go low. If you'll notice, just by the speakers. go high of the spirit, did they go low? I got to stop. I'm already over time. I'll be getting in trouble here. Any more questions or any comments or anything before we